a partner in this project myself. You know, I have spent quite a bit of time driving around, just kind of getting a feel for the area and kind of what's around it. I had actually been working with a realtor out there that has the bed and breakfast. What was it? The White? Mm-hmm. The White Wing?
Yeah.
Which is 38 acres, zoned C2, which is just a stone's throw from this property, which at any point, which my gut feeling is, it's going to be developed. You know, the views are too good, the property's too nice, and it's going to happen. You know, and with me driving through there, there's a lot of properties, you know, commercial properties, resorts that you have to go right through neighborhoods to get to. And apparently these resorts have been here a lot longer than some of the neighborhood that has been here. And obviously it's not been an issue. Most of the properties down Tall Tree are owned by the Pattersons, which have a couple of vacation rentals herself. And just, I've got a fairly reliable source. I'm not going to say that, you know, it's 100%, but the reason for the cut-in road back there is to get back to the parcels to put more vacation rental in, because they are owned by the Pattersons as well. So I don't see them as having 20 residential homes back there to basically rent long-term or even sell. That is, you know, they're in the business for vacation rental. We want to try to come in and do our part, put something nice up. We're not, you know, looking at coming in and rodeoing a bunch of properties in. You know, this is, you know, we want to leave our stamp on the property to know that when people pull up, they know that, you know, who had done the project, you know, because this ain't going to be the last one. The road, you know, of course, I don't think we should carry the brunt end of it because there's vacation rentals down through there, but we're willing to take that on because, you know, we want to try to do what we can to be neighborly. Like I said,
increase the property values.
You know, and I know there's wind around a petition saying they don't want road improvements. Why would you not want road improvements? Because that's going to increase their value of their lots. And make no mistake, if this does happen in more vacation rentals, I mean that's what's going to happen down through the road. I mean it's already there. So for people to come in that already own vacation rental and oppose it, is it just opposing competition, or is it truly just because, you know, it's a road issue? So
how many parcels are you proposing for our homes? What's being presented?
We're still trying to finalize the final plat, but and also it's going to depend on the DNR approval of what type of system we have to put in. But we're looking at something kind of between the 40 to 60 range that would allow us to have some nice green spaces too.
Are these houses or condos?
Detached houses.
Okay, any other questions? Okay, on the opposition side, do you guys have any kind of order to go in?
There might be one more.
One more in favor. Good evening.
Hey, good to see you guys. Tim Davis, Branson, Missouri. I'm the attorney for Worley. I do some of their legal work. I don't do it all, but some of it. I wanted to see if there was a public road access back to this property. So I looked at the plats. There were two plats. One was filed in 1967, and one was filed in 1971. On both plats, there's language that says the roads shown on the plats are dedicated to public use. Now, that's important. It's like magic language, which there's a state statute that says what happens when that kind of language shows up on a plat. The statute's 445.070, and it says that when that kind of language shows up on a plat in the county, the effect is to create a public right-of-way and effectively a public road over the road shown on the plats, even though the county's not obliged to maintain it. So there are public roads the county is obliged to maintain, but we're not getting many more of those because the county doesn't have the money to add new roads to its system. And then you have an entirely separate set of public roads the county doesn't maintain because it doesn't have the money and doesn't want to bring them into its maintenance system. So here, all the roads leading back to this property are public roads in Stone County, even though Stone County is not paying to maintain them, if that makes sense. All right. And there's nothing that prohibits the private individuals who use that public road access, nothing prohibits them from improving it. In fact, they have to do maintenance on it because the county's not doing maintenance. So it would just go back to wilderness if the private parties who used it didn't keep it up and improve it, if that's helpful. All right. Thanks, guys.
Thank you. Anyone else signed up to speak on behalf? Seeing none. Opposed? Do you guys have a game plan? Who's going to go first?
Yeah, we do. We have three speakers.
Okay.
So, I'll start out.
Takes me a while to get up here.
Good evening.
I'm Tom Shiflett, and I live on Tall Tree Drive in the Grandview Acres development. And I'm here to talk about property values and what we think is going to happen to our property values if this development goes forward. Now, they keep talking about how this is going to increase our property values, and yet I don't see any empirical evidence that says it would. So I decided to do some research on my own. And what that comes down to, it comes down to traffic patterns and volume. And you've got arterial roads, which I know you gentlemen are familiar with, and you've got arterial roads and collector streets. So the arterial roads are the main roads or the county highways. They're in our neighborhood, in this instance, it's UU, Ozark Hollow. The collector roads, which feed into residential areas, include Tall Tree Drive and Oak Post Road. But those are the collectors. And collectors go through residential neighborhoods. And that's exactly where they're proposing this road for access to their 60 to 64 unit development goes through. So it's basically going to change our road from a collector to an arterial and all the attending traffic that's going to cause. And looking, you know, doing the research and going through the evidence from governmental agencies, academia, realtor associations, I couldn't find one instance where changing the pattern of the road from a collector to an arterial raises any property values. In fact, it lowers property values. The lowest amount that it would affect it, that I could find, was 7.8%. And it went all the way up to 30% reduction in property values as a result of the change in the roads. So what this development proposes to do is change the entire usage of our road, again, to arterial, going through a residential neighborhood. In one study that I looked at, and it was by the International Journal of Housing Markets and Analysis, titled Price Effects of Surface Street Traffic on Residential Property, that's where that 7.8% discount came in. They said a 7.8% discount on arterial streets versus collector streets. And that's the smallest amount that I was able to find. Never found any case where doing what we're proposing to do here raises property values. It lowers property values. The other was a fellow by the name of Mark Ferguson, who's a well-known expert in housing values, said you can expect a 20% decrease in resale value of your house when you go, and I'll quote him here, from a quiet street, which we currently have, to a busy road, which is what Mr. Roy is proposing. And again, it's going right through our residential neighborhood. I can't find anything, and I looked. I tried to be honest with myself about it. Show me where our property value is going to increase by putting these busy roads through our neighborhood. Not one case. Not one. And all it was all I could find was, you know, we're going to argue about percentages. So 7.8 is the lowest. Up to 30% was the highest. And these are all empirical studies that have been done. And I'm not even taking into consideration the other negative aspects, like noise, which kind of an accepted standard for that is for every decibel increase in noise, you get a 1% decrease in property value. Well, we know we're going to have increased noise. And again, think about it. He wants to talk about, we have a pattern here of five nightly rentals in our area. And he tries to compare that to 60, to 64 units he's going to put up on the hill, which there's no comparison. It's apples to oranges. I don't know. In summary, I can't find where this is going to increase any property value. In fact, it's going to take money out of our pockets. That's just how it is. You don't move to a busy street or transform your neighborhood from a quiet neighborhood to a busy neighborhood, and we're going to talk about what the traffic patterns are going to be, without reducing your property value. Now, what Mr. Worley does with his money is his business. You know, I don't care until it starts getting into my pocket. And it's getting into my pocket and every other resident of Grandview Acres and Paradise Estates. You know, it's pretty intuitive to figure that out. But when it's backed by studies that are done, it becomes pretty much of a fact. And there it is. Let him do it, and we're going to lose money.
Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Next.
I've got a few slides. These I don't expect you to sit here and read these. I was told to bring four, but I can show it off for y'all. A few summary pages. I'm sorry, on the slide.
I'm so used to it. I wasn't paying attention.
Is it the traffic game pedal? That
there
one?
There you go.
Okay.
There you go. Well, I didn't really want to speak either, but I was asked to do a traffic study. I'm a civil engineer with over 30 years of experience. And I do these things, and I also live on Post Oak Drive. And I'm on the street that every bit of traffic that will go through this new subdivision will go right across my front door. And I'll just tell you, I tried to look at this and be somewhat conservative, reference the ITE Trip Generation Manuals, 10th edition. The numbers they recommend for single-family homes is one trip per peak hour, typically that's a.m., p.m. peak, with a total of 10 trips a day. And I thought that seems high. So basically I cut those numbers in half. I'll say one during a.m., one during the p.m. peak, maybe three more trips a day. Looking at townhomes or timeshares, which is essentially what these kind of properties are going to be, and we're talking 66 six-bedroom units is what they originally referenced up to, which, you park a lot of bodies in there, a lot of vehicles. But I'm looking at one vehicle per unit using these numbers. And I'm, obviously this is the peak time of summer, weekends. It's not going to be throughout the year. I couldn't do a traffic count because the first part of February is dead. So you all are aware of that. And I'm referring, as I'm looking at the traffic study, I'm looking at all motorized types because we got lots of golf carts, RTVs, those kind of things to the neighborhoods. A lot of deliveries, all the mail currently for Paradise Estates. The mailboxes sit on Post Oak Drive. The trash pickups on Post Oak Drive. Our mail lady will not go down those roads. So you're going to have to make some major improvements. But at any rate, if you'll go to the next slide, I looked at existing and future traffic. Right now there are 16 homes in Grandview Acres on 31 lots. If you run through the math and basically look at that, it comes out to somewhere between 83 to 95 trips a day on a peak day. And trust me, I'm out there. You go out there on a Saturday afternoon on a busy weekend, and it's busy. People are going up and down Arundel crossing Post Oak Drive. That intersection's full of folks. A lot of people out walking, a lot of kids, a lot of grandkids. And so when you look at that as a two, you double the traffic for two-way. Somebody goes out, they come back. you're looking at peak numbers approaching 200 vehicles a day, counting golf carts and RTVs and all.